Will you join me in listening to the word of God found in Luke chapter 24? Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. There we go. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day's almost over." So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. You know, our tendency, especially here in the Western world, is that we hit a holiday and then we just move on back to normal. You know, it's like, and part of that is the holiday gets built up so far ahead of time because of commercialism. Because you know, you only have about one more month until they start playing Christmas music in the stores. But then, right after Christmas, it all stops. You know, it shuts down, and because they don't think they can sell you anything anymore. But we tend to go up to that holiday, and as soon as the holiday's over, we just let life go back to normal. And we forget that the holiday goes on, if you really understand the true meaning of the holiday. And, you know, we don't always focus with the same intensity of what Easter is all about, even 1 week after we've celebrated Easter. We go back to normal. But if you were to be alive in Jerusalem back when that first happened, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after, there would still be a buzz going on about it. As Jesus continued to reveal himself and appear to, I think it says over 500 people he revealed himself to. Can you imagine the chatter that would create? Even if you went home and told your own family, "I just saw Jesus," and they're thinking, they're out of their mind. You know, but the two that we just read about, this was Easter Sunday as they were walking that road. And they're trying to figure, now you have to remember, Jesus had more than 12 disciples that followed him. He had 12 that were the inner circle, but there was many, many more that were with him all the time. If you read in Acts chapter 1 and 2, you'll find that they wanted to replace Judas, so they made a selection from people that had been with them through the whole time, just not the inner circle. So it's possible these two had been with Jesus during that whole 3-year ministry as part of the larger crowd. And they knew a lot about what Jesus had talked about. And they're on this road, starting to Emmaus. It's a 7-mile walk, and if you're taking your time, they say that will take you between 2 and 2.5 hours. If you're hurrying, you can do it in about an hour and a half. But I'm sure they were taking their time, more than just a relaxed walk. They probably walked a little bit and stopped, talk about something, move on. And in the midst of that, and I think probably early in the journey, Jesus, unaware to them, unrecognized by them, joins them in that journey. And he says, what are you guys talking about? Well, it's brand new news to them. This is Easter, sometime during Easter day. And they're saying, don't you know? Everything that's happened the last few days, you know, a week ago, we had this huge celebration of people shouting and screaming hosannas and Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And you know, there was this huge anticipation. But then this person, Jesus, was turned over to the chief priests and he was crucified. And just this past Friday, right in the midst of Passover, the one that we thought he was going to be the Messiah, we were looking for him to be that. And he was great in prophet and word and deed. And if you read their words, you notice it's all past tense. We had hoped he would be the one. You know, this one who was mighty in word and deed. Their knowledge of Jesus, even after spending significant time with him, living, walking, listening to his teaching, their knowledge of Jesus was really still pretty thin. And Jesus says, don't you understand, don't you know, that all these things were part of the plan from the beginning? That the Messiah had to go through all of this stuff? And it says Jesus began with Moses, meaning Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He began there and the prophets and began to explain to them everything about himself. Now, stop and think about it. What do we really know about Jesus? What do we really know? You know, so much of our Sunday school curriculum, it's the same basic subjects over and over and over again. If you were supposed to explain Jesus using Moses and the prophets, how would you explain that based on what we've learned? You know, I thought back on it, thinking like, okay, I remember in Sunday school as kids growing up, we learned about Adam and Eve. And then, of course, Noah. And then David and Goliath, you know, that's always a favorite. Moses. But the prophets. And then exactly how that all really applies to Jesus himself. So Jesus starts with Moses and the prophets and starts to reveal to them things they have never realized. And you have to understand, their educational system's a little bit different than ours. Educational system in the Jewish community back in Galilee in the first century started with, you know, about the same time ours would start. And what they would do up through about age 10 or 11, they would memorize the first five books of the Bible. How many of you have one of those books memorized? My hand's only up to see if you'll respond, but that, no, I don't have those memorized either. You know, they would. That's why when Jesus would talk and they would be memorizing all this and Jesus would teach, he could just say, you know, Isaiah says, and we have the benefit. We have, how many of you have a Bible? How many of you have more than one Bible? How many of you have a Bible on your phone? You know, we have Bibles and we have that access to us, and they didn't. But they seemed to know more about those things. Jesus, as he walked along, could say, you remember, it would say, and, oh yeah, I never thought of it that way before. Can you imagine having 2 hours to walk with Jesus as he starts to explain what we have in the Bible that we take for granted? We read through it so quickly, and it's like we just... But then as he starts to unpack, 2 hours, and they maybe took three, depending how much time they would stop ask a question, look at each other, explain a little bit, and then slowly start moving on. They got a fresh new revelation of Scripture walking with Jesus on that road. If you ever ask God to show you more, if you ever ask God and said, Lord, what I think I know isn't much, would you show me more? Would you reveal to me something deeper than what I already have and what I'm reading and studying? I've had moments like that where it's like suddenly God says, take a look at this. And I might find myself for a few months making notes and say, I never saw this before. And start asking questions. God, what's this part mean? What we know so often is so superficial because we expect the answers to just be there on the page given to us. And we've never said, God, help me learn, help me discover. I remember a moment in high school. I had a teacher, Mr. McCoy. And Mr. McCoy was probably not most people's favorite teacher. I loved him as a person. He wasn't my favorite for class because of his grading scale. If you did all the assigned work and you did it well, you got a C. Because you've done the average work and C's the average grade. If you want to get an A or a B, you have to do extra credit. But he didn't tell you that at the beginning. You had to figure that out on your own. And I'll be honest, for English, I really wasn't interested in doing extra credit for English. But I do remember one day when he was talking and he said something, he used a word that none of us knew, and the one kid that was sitting beside me said, Mr. McCoy, what's that word mean? And Mr. McCoy says, you know, he said, over there in the back of the room, he said, there's a shelf. He said, and on that shelf, he said, there's a number of dictionaries. He said, why don't you go look it up and find out what it means? So the kid got up and went and looked it up and came back. He said, now tell us, what's the word mean? And he shared it and he said, you know, he said, my desire is not to teach you English, but to teach you how to think for yourself. Because if you can learn that, you can teach yourself English. How many of us approach Scripture just expecting the answer to be there rather than saying, God, show me how to learn more of what's here? Jesus started with the disciples, and he started in Moses, the books of Moses, and the prophets. And I'm sure he started unpacking things like after the garden, in the garden after sin, how Eve's heel would bruise the serpent's head, how the Messiah would come, a child would come forth that would conquer Satan. And I'm sure he would move through and get to Isaiah 53 with the suffering servant, and by his stripes you're healed. I'm sure he spent a lot of time talking about those things. And in the midst of all of that, the excitement of what they were learning, they still didn't recognize Jesus. They reach Emmaus after however long that journey took. Jesus seems like he's going to go on, but they like, stay with us. We want to know more. Do you want to know more? Would you be asking Jesus, hang around a little longer? I want to know more. Or is that a prayer on your heart and on your life? Do you really want to know more? So Jesus stays with them. And in the midst of the meal, as he breaks and blesses the bread, their eyes open. And now they know he's the risen Christ. They're not going to deny it. The two of them together were walking with him the whole time. They were hearing the same conversation they were having and hearing the same answers, same explanations. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he explained the Scriptures to us? Have you ever asked God to make the Scriptures so open to you that your heart burns with excitement? So it's not just words on the page, but it's something that engages you in a different way than you've ever known before. Have you made that a prayer that God, let my heart burn for what's in the Word. Where you don't just do your morning 5-minute devotion and be gone, but you're like, I can get consumed by this. You know, little devotional booklets, Daily Bread. I knew one person used to refer to that as the Daily Crumb. Because if you just read that one page and then put it down, sometimes you've not taken more than just a couple crumbs of bread and then going on for the day. Others are good, and you can really spend some time if you meditate and reflect on that through the day. It can give you a lot more. But if you just read it to say you've read it and move on, it's not much. But you need to get to where my heart burns within me. I want more of what's here in the Word. As he opened the Word to them, it's like, oh, I need more. Now, the impact of having recognized and having had 2 hours or so walking with Jesus and the Word being opened and then seeing the risen Christ, the impact of that is that they hurried back. We've got to tell somebody. They rushed back to Jerusalem, so they now did the trip in about an hour to an hour and a half because they were probably half running. And if they weren't like Pastor Chris that rides a bike consistently that's in fairly decent shape, they probably had to stop a few times to catch their breath. But they were in a hurry to get back, and they get to the 12. If you go on and you read the next two or three verses and what we did, it says we come to the 12 and said, we've seen Jesus. He's alive. And you know what they said? We know. We've seen him too. And I'm sure there was great rejoicing. Great talk, because, you know, when you encounter the risen Christ, you can't keep it contained. Because of the resurrection, everything now changes. It's not like it used to be. What before, as they're walking on the road, it was one who we thought was going to be. Now it's like, we know he is because he's alive. And if you want to ask me questions, I can start with Moses and go through the prophets, and I can start explaining to you why he is. So once you encounter the risen Christ, once the scriptures are burned into your heart, you can't help but proclaim and tell somebody. So my question for you is, who are you telling? Are you sharing the story? Outside these walls, we're kind of like them rushing to the disciples, but now it's like we've got to tell Jerusalem. We've got to tell North Sewickley. We've got to share that Jesus is still alive. That's why we meet on Sundays. Sunday is Resurrection Day. How many of you ever fast during Lent leading up to Easter? Even give something up for Lent? Do you know Sundays are not supposed to be included in that? During that time, you know, it's Monday through Saturday, and then each Sunday you're supposed to be allowed to, because Sunday is a day to remember the celebration of Jesus Christ. It's not a time for that. It's a time to say, Jesus is alive. We need to have the story where we want to proclaim Jesus is alive. So I encourage you, say, Lord, open up the scriptures to me. Let my heart burn with that desire. And Lord, let me tell somebody. Give me that excitement that I can't keep it to myself. Let it change wherever I'm at. Let your presence in me change the situation, because the resurrection changes everything. Let us pray together. Father, may you stir our hearts, Lord, that they might burn for you. May you create in us something, Lord, that the world around us knows something's different now because of you. In Jesus' name. Ask God to breathe into you something new that changes your heart. That so wherever you are, you bring change. according to God. When we lived in Waynesburg, I went one night to a high school basketball game, and it was senior night. And the team that they were playing was not one that we usually got along well with. And there were some bad calls made at different times, and the visiting team was winning by about 20, and there was a lot of tension in the stands where there was anger and things being said. And I sat there actually thinking that there could be some fights after the game was over, because the hostility that was just building between either calls and losing games. And but it was senior night, and so the visiting team was up by about 20 points. But you play all your seniors if you can on senior night. And so one young man named Danny, he was put in the last 5 minutes. Danny was more of a manager than a player. He wasn't very good. But they got Danny in the game, and they fed Danny the ball, and Danny shot, and he missed, and the other team took the ball and went down and scored. And they came back and got Danny the ball, and he shot, and he missed. And there were a few kids that started yelling, "Danny, Danny, Danny," to cheer him on. Well, it wasn't long until that cheer started to spread through the stands. The visiting team, I don't know whether it was a coach or whether the players just figured it out. The visiting team passed the ball in after Danny would miss or whatever and go out of bounds. They passed the ball in, and they dribbled down the floor 5 or 10 feet and step on a line out of bounds so the ball would come back to Waynesburg for Danny to have another chance. At one point, Brownsville was the team we were playing, just passed the ball straight to Danny. Danny's presence in that game changed everything. Let the Spirit of God be in you in such a way that wherever you show up, it changes everything. That's the power of the resurrected Christ. May you go and share his story and cheer him on. Go in peace.